Sunday, Chof Alef Av, which is the 17th of August. We are towards the very end of Siman Tov Resh Chof Av, the last bit of Seif Gimel, which is the Ramah. Very top of page 172 in our editions, in our Dirshan Mishneh Berurahs, and we'll be learning all the way till the end of this Siman, as well as the beginning of Siman Tov Resh Chof Zayin, Seif Alef and Seif Beis. We've been just discussing at the end of the Shir, the halachas with regards to a sukkah which has a roof, which you can open and close. We said with regards to the concept of tasei v'loy mino osui, in other words, the fact that you need to make the sukkah and it can't just be made, as far as that is concerned, there is no problem with a roof that can open and close. The reason being, as explained, because the psul is not in the schach itself, and therefore the fact you're opening and closing it is not a problem at all, and the sukkah is kosher, and there's no problem of tasei v'lemino osu. That's with regards to that issue. But the remark continues over here, top of the page 172. Even on Yom Tov, you may have thought that it's a problem to open and close such a roof, but the truth is, says the Rama, there is no problem. You can open and close it, the roof, on a daily basis, constantly, and it's not a problem at all. You can open and close it the whole time. Im yesh lohem tzirim, if there is hinges, shesoiga, that closes for Pesach, and you close bohen with them, as long as there's hinges, you can open and close it, and it's not a problem at all. As far as Hilchas Yom Tov is concerned. And there is no problem over here, lo mishum stira, nor with regards to the issa stira on Yom Tov, there's a melacha of stira, of soiseh, of destroying something, or vinyan, and on the other hand, of constructing something by closing it, you know, opening anything, vinyan oil by Yom Tov, v'lo mishum tasem, and also, so there's no problem over here, not with regards to stira, not with regards to binyan, not with regards to oil, not with regards to tasem, v'lo mishum tasem, rak, she'ezoir, you should only be careful, shelo yeshev tachten, you should make sure not to sit underneath it, shem skurim, when it's closed, she'ezoir sukkah psul, because then the sukkah is actually posul, and he's not fulfilling the mitzvah, yeshiva sukkah, when sitting in such a sukkah. The Mishnah Berurah says something, the Mishnah Berurah says something really interesting over here, and if cotton chof tzirim, davik pesach, it's a tzir and hinge, always make something into a a hinge always makes something into a Pesach, into a door. There's a heta of, normally we know that there's a concept of binyan and stira, building something, or on the contrary, closing something, destroying something. And the concept of a tzir makes something into a Pesach, into a door. And a door, the definition of a door is something which is constantly opening and closing, and that makes into a regular action, and there is no malach of binyan and stira involved. So that's there's a heter of Pesach, and the heter of Pesach is achieved by having a tzir by hinges. So since there's hinges over here, or in fact something similar to hinges, that makes into something which is perfectly permissible over Yom Tov, and that's what the Mishnah points out of it. Davik Pesach, it is like a Pesach. Which, by the way, that implies that if it is something, even if it's firmly opened up or firmly closed off through the hinges, as long as there is hinges, even if it's very firm and very fixed and very strong, nevertheless it's going to be okay to open and close that roof on Yom Tov. That's what it appears from the Mishnah Berurah of Kotten Chof, because it doesn't make any conditions at all. So as long as there's hinges, it's okay. What happens if there's no hinges? Says the Mishnah Berurah, Uva'ein lohem tzir. What happens if there's no hinges, but it's something which is to be, which you're attaching by hand, but it's firmly attached. So here he says that shogel de akum, you're allowed to do it through a goy only. You're allowed to do it through a goy because it's a Mishnah Berurah expensive cotton lam, in the Sharetzin expensive cotton lam at base. Mishnah have a shvus to shvus mokha mitzvah. You're asking a goy to do a melacha drabonon, which is permitted in a mokha mitzvah. Again, the melacha drabonon is to do without hinges. The binyan stira is over here only with drabonon. It's still also, but it's not Pesach, so it's also, but it's only with drabonon. On the other hand, you're doing it through goy, so that makes into a double drabonon of goy, drabonon of melacha drabonon, And that makes a shvus to shvus, which is permissible b'makom mitzvah for the sake of a mitzvah, which over here is mitzvah yeshiva sukkah. He continues and he says the following: V'imo yokal hashana kvuim b'mismarim shepsichoson osu min ha-toyrim. What happens if it's the whole year round, this sukkah is closed up with some nails or something, which is throughout the whole year it's closed up, nailed, and you can't open it the whole year round. So that to open that up would actually be involving an itzah deraisa. What happened if you forgot to take those off? The shochel foschon at kinesis yomtev. Only one shab yomtev came in. You remembered about them. Says the Mishneh Berurah, im shoril lefoschon al day akum be'en lo sukkah acheres pelil yom tivrishon mishum shvus b'mokom mitzvah. He said that then, as to whether would you be allowed to ask a goy to undo this fixture and open up the sukkah for you on yom tiv? So Mishneh Berurah started off saying that shvus to shvus b'mokom mitzvah is okay. So if there's a melacha d'rabbanon involved, you're allowed to ask a goy to do that for the purpose of fulfilling the mitzvah yeshiva sukkah. What about if it's not a melacha d'rabbanon? If it's a melacha d'raisa? If it's a biblical melacha, would you still be allowed to ask a goy to do so? And of course, there would be other scenarios for that as well. Imagine there's something which is crucial for the sukkah still to be made, and it wasn't achieved, it wasn't done before Yom Tov. Would you be allowed to ask a goy to do this biblical melacha for you to sit in the sukkah? If there is no other sukkah available, certainly if there is another sukkah available, you won't be able to do it. But what if there's no other sukkah available? Says the Mishneh Berurah, let me read through these lines again. If they are nailed up throughout the entire year, shepsichoson also matter to open them up would be biblical. V'shachach and he forgot lefaschon to open them at knis yomtov until yomtov actually came in. Im shori lefaschon al deakum. As to whether it be allowed to ask a goy to do so, be'enos sukachis if he's gonna order sukkah b'leil yomtov rishon on the first night of yomtov mishum shvus b'makom mitzvah, because it's a shvus b'makom mitzvah. It's a shvus and it's a b'makom mitzvah mitzvah purpose. V'chein im muta loy malenochi shesachich loy sukkah b'yomtov b'en lacheres. Or as to whether you'd be allowed to ask a goy to make schach. Imagine there was no schach. The schach fell off. Very windy. The schach fell off and there's no schach and you can't eat in that. Would you be allowed to ask a goy to put a schach on it? So that he says mistapek. And Prima Godin remains in doubt, he's not sure about it. V'siyem, he concludes, Aloch l'maisa, l'hoiro is heter choliroli. I cannot allow this. He says, I'm not sure, and I can't really allow to do that. V'tzorich in b'cholzeh, and the Mishneh Berurah, and the Prima Godin, the Prima Godin says that tzorich in, he's unsure how to pass in l'maisa. Carries on the Mishneh Berurah. V'imu adayin ben hashmosha, ayin b'bikuri Yaakov, ha-shekosev zeh, b'bikuri Yaakov also writes about this topic. V'imu adayin ben hashmosha, if it's still within the ben hashmosha's period of the day, then it's more lenient. V'nireh b'vada deyesh lo'akel b'zeh adayin akum, then certainly when you're allowed to ask a goy to do so. Now this Mishneh Berurah is relevant with regards to imagine the schach fell off taka during wind. So the Mishneh Berurah is not so convinced that it's permitted, but lemaisa the poiskim are mate if the, because he's talking about over here in a case where the schach was never there initially, and you're asking a goy to put the schach there on the first night of Yom Tov. So over here he's reluctant to be mekel. The poiskim, however, do say that it's more lenient if the schach was there once and it flew off, or it fell off. Then the consensus of the poskim is, like I'm listening, Karelitz and others write, if he was there once, you'd be allowed to ask a goy on Yom Tov to put the schach back on. That's the maaser word, how the poskim would pasken. Right. Now, this leads us to Simon Tov Resh Chov Zayin. Dinei ha-yoshein besukkah, somebody who sleeps in the sukkah. We learned Simon Tov Resh Chov Vav. In Tov Resh Chov Vav, we spoke about a sukkah which is underneath a tree. And we discussed the various implications of the halacha. When there is a problem, when it's okay. Tzilsom Ruba, Chamosom Ruba, various scenarios of a sukkah being built underneath a tree. Simon Tov Resh Chov Zayin discusses slightly different topic, and that is not if there's something on top of the sukkah, but rather what happens is, it's the following scenario. If somebody has a sukkah which is a kosher sukkah, so the starting point is you've got a kosher sukkah. However, you have somebody who's sleeping in the sukkah, not just underneath the schach, but there's something between the schach and the person. And the person being in the sukkah. So maybe the most prominent case would be somebody who is sleeping imagine somebody would have a tent in the sukkah. Somebody builds a little teepee tent in the sukkah. So I think that's a nice way of understanding the simon over here. If somebody's got a little tent within the sukkah, it's got a fairly large sukkah, and within that he builds a little tent. So, and he's eating there. Would he be always learning there? Always staying there? Sitting there? Would that person who is in that tent, would he fulfill mitzvah sukkah? Yes or no? And that really is a topic that we're discussing in Simon Tov Resh Chof Zayin. It's somebody who is in the sukkah, but there is something between him and the schach. That is the topic over here. And it's called Hayoshein Tachas HaSukkah. I've prepared a sheet over here which says Simon Tov Resh Chof Zayin Tzif Aleph. And you see the sukkah, and I've put underneath there a bed to demonstrate the first case of the Shulchan Aruch, which is as follows. Sif Alef Tzorich Leishe Ba'avir HaSukkah, that's really a title. You need to sit in the avir, in the airspace, HaSukkah of the sukkah. And starts the Shulchan Aruch saying the following. Hayoshein Tachas HaMito B'Sukkah. Somebody who is sleeping, Tachas HaMito, under a bed. Imi Gvoya Asura Tfochim. If it is 10, Tvachim Hai, Lo Yotze is not Yotze. So now, we are defining now what is considered. And that's what we're going to be doing over the Simon. We're defining what is considered the Oyhel. Now, if you look at the picture over here, I've demonstrated the following concept. You've got a sukkah, and underneath it you've got a bed. This bed over here is 10 Tvachim Hai. You've got the purple color is where the person would be lying. I don't think he could sit there, but he's lying. So you've got over there a purple area. The purple area, is that really somebody who's there, who's lying there? Is he fulfilling mitzvah sukkah or not? So it says in the Shulchan Aruch, Hayoshin tachsim mitofon, somebody sleeping underneath the bed. If it is 10 tfachim high, lo yotze is not yotze. So what we're learning now is that if this item that is dividing the airspace and is underneath the schach is 10 tfachim high, that is considered a oyel. That is considered an oyel. Oyel literally means a tent. And what that means is that it's enough of a division, enough of a divider, enough of a separation between him. It's enough choshuv, important to be a separation between him and the schach that is not fulfilling the mitzvah by doing that. So that's the definition of an oil. So what we are trying to define over here, let's just say that again. What we need trying to define over here is what is considered an oil. When is it considered an oil in order to be enough of a separation not to fulfill the mitzvah sukkah? You see, we have written oil, which literally means tent, and underneath it says, one cannot fulfill mitzvahs yeshiva sukkah underneath it. One cannot, because it's considered a proper tent, a proper divider, and because of that chshivas of an oil, he won't be fulfilling mitzvah sukkah. Let's see what the Mishnah Berurah says on that. Sifkoten Aleph, Tzorich Leishev, Hiktim Bazeh, this is an introduction, Kedei Leida Atam, in order to know the reason, Beyoshein Tachsemit, somebody sleeps under the bed, Delo Yotzo, that is not fulfilling the mitzvah, She'eino Yoshein Betzel HaSukkah, he's not sleeping in the shade of the sukkah, Elo, only Betzel Oyel, in the shade of the oil of the tent. Sifkoten Beis, Hayoshein, here the Mishnah Berurah is addressing, why is he talking about somebody sleeping? Is this halacha only relevant to somebody who is sleeping? What if somebody is awake? Mishnah Berurah explains, no. What we are discussing over is Hayoshein, the Ikra Yeshiva Sasuke, Huachila, Yeshtia, Vesheino. When we are talking about Yeshiva Sukkah, there is always the three main components, which is eating, drinking, and sleeping. So we are talking over here about somebody who is sleeping, because that's one of the main halachas that a person needs to do, one of the main actions and activities a person needs to do in the sukkah is sleeping. So that's what we're talking about, sleeping. But certainly it's not only if he's sleeping. In fact, he cannot fulfill mitzvah shiva sukkah at all whilst being in an oil. Sifkoten Gimel, Gevoya Asorot Fochim, Mina Oretz, from the ground, Ad Tachtis Amit, until the lower part of the main part of the bed, Amito Gvoya Asorot Fochim, if it's 10 Fochim high. So we're learning now that if you look at the picture, the blue area of the bed. So you need to have 10 tefachim, you need to be 10 tefachim from the ground all the way till the actual body of the bed. Yeah, the body of the bed. 10 tefachim. So if you want it's more than that, you've got a problem. Since there is airspace which is 10 tefachim high, so from the floor all the way till the main body of the bed, that 10 tefachim, so you're running into trouble. So the truth is, looking at the picture now, it may not be so accurate, I'm sure. I'm just looking at the picture now, it's not so accurate, because the red arrows going up and down from the bed, it's not really accurate. If the blue area underneath the cover, as it were, those two lines, if they would be part of the body of the bed, actually the red line would be more accurate to be from the ground all the way till the bottom part of the bed, if that makes sense what I'm saying. Because the body, you have to have 10 tefachim, once it's 10 tefachim from the ground till the bottom part of the body of the bed, that's already a problem, because you've got the airspace of 10 tefachim, which is a problem, which is considered an oil. Mafsik ben asuka, and it's mafsik, it's separating between the person and the sukkah. Ba'afilu tfanos hamito ktorim oid, even if the legs are short, she'en lehem afilu roich av tefach, even if they're not tefach, why? It doesn't make a difference if they're standing on short, on thin legs. Because mokav, nevertheless, shame oil aleo, it's got name of an oil, it's considered a tent, and it's a problem. In sieve base. What would be if it's less than 10 tefachim? So imagine you've got a bed, which is really low, and the person can't be bothered making his own bed, and he just wants to sleep underneath the bed of his friend. So he's got a bed which is a low bed, under less than 10 tefachim high, and the person wants to sleep underneath that because, say it's raining, you know what, it's raining, and not properly, just a little bit, or it's cold, but not properly, there's potter from the sukkah, just a bit uncomfortable. He prefers to be just underneath that, he'll feel more comfortable if he's underneath that bed. Is that okay or not? If it's more than 10 tefachim, then if gone oil, it's certainly a problem. What if it's less than 10 tefachim? Is it lechat chidra to do that, or is it only b'dievet? Good question. Interestingly, it sounds like Rav Ozner is the first one to address this question, to sit explicitly al kuponim. And Rav Ozner said, it's not a problem, it's not considered oil, it's okay. So it's fine, because it's not considered an oil at all, so it's fine, why not? According to the first sieve that we learned now, what would be if you've got loads and loads of, if you've got a bunk bed, about a couple of layers, say three, I don't know, just imagine a couple, one on top of the other, and they're all within 10 tefachim, one, and then another one, what would be the halacha then? Three beds, one on top of the other, but they're all within 10 tefachim. So, the halacha, as according to what we've learned until now, is that it's fine. We're going to see some that's not, might not be the maskona, once we're going to be learning later seifim, but as far as we've learned now, it would be okay. It would be okay, because it's less than 10 tefachim, it's okay. Seif base. Hayoshen tachas a kilo besukkah. Kilo is a type of canopy type of thing, which is not totally kavua. The Mishnah Berurah explains exactly what that means. It's in Sifkot Dala tachas a kilo. Hem sdinim aprusim svivo isamito. It's materials, thin materials that are spread around the bed. Alabo kundosim, and there's four sticks sticking out from the bed. You've got legs something sticking up from the bed, and in the middle is the bed. So you've got the bed and four things sticking up from the edges, from the four corners of the bed, they're going up, and around it you're spreading type of sheets, thin materials. You've got that. So somebody who sleeps underneath that kind of kilo, So the halacha is imeno gvoya so tefachim. If it's not 10 tefachim high, oishe ein lo gagoch of tefach, and it's not ten, the whole tefach thick, yoyotze, it's not a problem at all. It says in the Mishneh Berurah, sifkot hey, imeno gvoya so tefachim, ein lo choshiv oil bifnei atzmo. So consider oil. It's not an oil. It's okay. So again, the rule is if it's less than 10 tefachim, it's fine. And here we're adding another point as well in sifkot vav, oishe ein lo gagoch of tefach. Now, if it would have been actually less than 10 tefachim high, however, the thickness of the top would be a full tefach, then it would be a problem. So we're learning now that if it's a proper tefach high top cover, even if it's less than 10 tefachim high, would actually be a problem. So she'en lo gag roichav tefach, I'm morgan avom, da afilu boifin zeh, im yesh pochis mishloish tefachim, so moch le gag roichav tefach. Okay, the point he's making over here is that if he actually goes all the way up to the schach, you're gonna three tefachim within the schach, then you're gonna run into trouble because of the concept of lovot. But the truth is, we're gonna address this point a little bit, and we're gonna address a very similar point later on, where he's gonna discuss this point more clearly. So I'm gonna leave it for then in Yetzah Hashem. But this is the halach over here, that if it's the concept of an oil is a problem, because a yoshen tachas amito is a problem. That's the concept of an oil, and we've qualified now and defined. Then oil is, if it's 10 tefachim high, it's a problem. Less than that is okay. And we've also mentioned the point that if it's less than 10 tefachim high, however, the top layer is a tefach thick, then you're going to run it, then it's going to be a problem as well, and you're going to have a problem of oil as well. But we're going to address this shaila in Tziv Gimel and Dalet more closely, Mitzvah Hashem.